Welcome to Parents Perspective. I'm Sandy Burt. Today, in a departure from our usual format, we are hosting a very special group of guests. Their insights will be helpful to parents and to any adults concerned with teenagers. Our experts will help us discover what teens would like their parents to know.
I'm Linda Perlis. With us today are four students: Paula, an eighth grader.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Hugh, a sophomore.
Hi, great to be here.
Tim, a junior.
Hey, nice to be here.
And Sonia, a senior.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Welcome to all of you. If you could magically change one thing about being a teenager, what would it be?
I think I would like to change time school starts, because I have to get up really early every morning and I really don't like it.
How early?
I get up about 6 every morning. So.
What time does the first period begin?
7:55.
Oh my goodness.
But I have to catch the bus at about 7:15, so I like to get up early enough to shower and everything.
Anybody else have that problem?
I'd say that's a pretty big factor for me too. I have to wake up like at 6 in order to get ready for to go to school, because I have to like catch the bus at 7, so that's not too good.
Early bus time. What about other kinds of things you'd like to change?
I think curfew would be something high on my list. On weekends, I think kids should be able to go out later, because most of the parties and the nightlife kind of don't really kick up until later on. And you kind of work hard, play hard sort of a deal. So.
You need that playtime, huh?
Yeah.
Do you have a curfew personally, or it's the city curfew?
Unfortunately, the state has enforced one upon most teenagers under the age of 18. So my father usually tends to abide by that for the most part. But he's pretty lenient.
In the past year or two, what has been your biggest challenge?
I guess I would say being able to balance schoolwork and social life and sports and family.
You have a lot going on, right?
Yeah.
Not enough hours?
Have you had any helps with that, or any tricks that you've begun to learn?
Well, I do both soccer and dance, and I do them both pretty intensely a lot of days a week, and so they tend to have a lot of conflicts. So I've been having to have ways to work around it, and it was sort of hard at first, but it seems to be working out now. But
a lot of people say that when they have more things to do, they're better organized than if they don't. Are you finding that?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've found that to be true, because when I have time on my hands, I usually wind up wasting it. So
there's an honest man.
If I don't have anything to do, I probably just play video games until I do have something to do. One of the biggest challenges that I've had is the SAT.
When you one day become the parent of a teen, what do you hope you'll remember about these years?
How much fun they could be, and they can be. It's a frustrating time, because there's kind of a gap in society in terms of what's appropriate to do when you're younger. You know, on a Friday night or Saturday night, you all come over to one of your friend's house and you have a big sleepover and rent videos. And then when you're 18 or you're in college, you're either going to a club or a bar. But when you're 15, 16, 17, you're sort of in the middle, and it's frustrating. So you resort to throwing parties yourself, and then you have to deal with, if it gets too loud, neighbors, who's coming to these things, what's going on there. And it's frustrating, but the benefits that you can take out of, talking to adults, besides their college years, they look back and they say, these were some of the best years of my life. And it comes at such an early time. You don't want it to pass you by, because you don't want to look back and realize that you listened too much to the rules and you were too into adding another 30 points on your score here or there, or so on and so forth, that it kind of all passed you by. And that's what I would say.
You want to make sure your kids have fun when they're teens, too.
Yeah, I think it's, life is not black and white. It's gray, and it's a balance. And I think that it's important to have your fun years when you're a teenager, and then your working years, probably later 20s, where you really just, bear down and get some work done. But that's not to say that you can't have a little fun early on.
I think, kind of adding to that, it's easy to lose perspective about what really is important, and that it's so easy to get caught up in this process and to your just idea of standards is so skewed, especially coming from a very competitive school. It's just difficult to look at things objectively sometimes because you get caught up in these processes. You don't take the time to kind of step away from them and kind of look at them for what they are.
How can parents help with this? Because we're standing by seeing this happen, and we know that we're very often part of the problem. Is there a way that you think parents could be part of the solution?
Well, I guess with my parents, it was really helpful that they really let me go through this process on my own a little bit, that they never put any extra pressure on me. They really just always let me know that they had confidence in whatever decisions I made and trusted that what I decided to do was obviously the best thing for me. And they kind of let me make that choice without complicating things, which was really helpful. And that when I needed reassurance that I was doing the right thing, they were always there to kind of give that to me, which was really helpful because it's difficult, especially when you have friends who are always asking you, oh, how did you do on this? And did you get this person to write your recommendation letter and all these things? It's difficult to be confident that you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. And I think that they really helped by just reassuring me that I was on the right track.
Tim, how are you finding this process right now? You're beginning it. Sonia's just finished it.
Yeah, I'm just starting that process. And it's hard to, like, when you take a look at those huge books and, like, the U.S. News Weekly, and it says 49% of the people who were let into this college were in, like, the top 5%. And it's sort of like, am I in that top 5%? And you're sort of always comparing yourself to the to those numbers that they seem to rack up throughout the process of the college admissions. It's real complicated because at least my parents kind of pressure me a little. I mean, they're sort of like, hey, what college do you want to go to? They almost like spring it on me during dinner, and I'm like, I mean, right now I have no idea. I mean, there are a whole bunch of colleges that I like, but I'm not sure like which one I truly want to go to. I don't have like a set one. I'm really all over the place.
You're probably very lucky that way.
Is there anything as a parent you would absolutely want to avoid doing, a parent of a teenager? They're all listening for your advice.
I think when they're younger, if they have field trips and stuff like that and they ask parents to volunteer, I'd want to okay it with my kids first. I don't mind when my parents are around and, you know, talk to my friends or whatever, but I'd want to avoid being too much in their faces a little bit, so.
Being around the friends too much?
Yeah, well, friends and, yeah.
You'd want to be sure to give your kids that privacy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I would really want to avoid being too overprotective, that a lot of times with my friends, I see their parents set a lot of rules for them that you can see are in the child's best interest, but a lot of times I think they are really counterproductive. And I think that I would really want my children to have the opportunity to make mistakes and to do things badly, because I think that there's a lot to be said for that. And some parents who try to kind of protect their children from making mistakes, I think the kids suffer a lot in that. And that sometimes it's really important to mess up and just to see that and to be able to have your own experiences and grow from them and not be prevented from doing those because your parents are afraid that you might do something wrong.
That's a real high wire act, isn't it, to figure out which are the mistakes that are okay to let your kid make and which are the ones that are huge no-nos.
Right.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion of what teens want their parents to know.
Two excellent books written by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, are available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective and our special group of teenage guests. Today we are discussing with them what teens want their parents to know.
Something I would probably try and avoid is like forcing my personal opinions about stuff on my kids. Because not my parents personally, but a lot of my friends' parents, they often like force their opinions on their kids, like their opinions about school and what friends they think they should have and what sports they should do. It's like a lot of parents are trying to like live through their kids, and the kids really have to act independently.
Yeah, adding on that, I can tell that a lot of times what people say in school are just what their parents tell them. And so, I mean, sometimes it's good that because the parents give them good advice on something, but sometimes it's just like you can tell they don't really think it, but they sort of say it because their parents think it and it must be right. So I think the parents should give them a little bit of room to make their own decision.
One of the biggest teen issues we hear about as adults is the desire for and need for independence. How do you think parents can help you become independent?
This is something that that bothers me a little bit. I find that it seems that parents sort of take a one-size-fits-all, that kids who've obviously had trouble with either, you know, curfews, you know, substance abuse, wasting money, so on and so forth, who have obviously had trouble handling their own, seem to give their children the same sort of freedom that kids who consistently rarely screw up, I mean, once upon a blue moon. I think independence should be based more upon a history, sort of a pattern almost, because it seems that there's never any reward for following the rules, and thus, why would you?
There's punishment for not following the rules,
there's punishment, yeah. Exactly.
Have your family's rules changed as you've gotten older, as you've become a teenager? This is, Hugh's been talking about this a little bit. Have people felt that their family's rules have changed as you've gotten older?
A problem that a lot of people are running into is that their rules haven't changed, and their parents haven't changed those rules, and those rules sort of are dated for like the situation that the kids are in.
You want to give an example?
Be home by 10, for one. For example, it's like a lot of movies start at like 9:30, and you can't be home by 10. And just a lot of stupid rules like that.
My parents' rules have changed since the beginning of high school. When I first started off as a freshman, they were concerned about things like me getting in cars with new drivers and about chaperones at parties and curfews and things like that. And I think within the first year, they kind of maintained those rules. But like at the moment, I don't have any rules about who I can and cannot get in a car with, and I don't have a curfew, and they aren't really as concerned about chaperones. And I think that it's really nice, kind of like what Hugh was talking about before, that they set certain rules and they saw that I could follow them and that I was responsible and that I was able to kind of take care of myself in those situations, and that they afterwards didn't really feel like they were necessary anymore. And I think that that's been really nice for me, especially right now, not having those kind of constraints anymore, that they really do trust my decisions and they trust how I'll behave in certain situations and they don't try to limit me in any way.
So that's made you feel more empowered?
Yes, very much so. And I think it's also improved my relationship with my parents because I feel like they really do trust me, not only as their child, but as an individual, and that they have faith that I can take care of myself and make the right decisions.
You feel like this since you've been a senior in high school, or when did you notice a change?
Well, I think it's been gradual, but I haven't had a curfew since freshman year was the last time I had a curfew. So I guess it's a gradual process, but throughout high school, they've kind of gotten less and less strict on rules.
So it's been performance-based or age-based or both?
I think both. I mean, if I look at my brother, who's 2 years younger, I think he certainly doesn't have as many rules as I did, but I also think that he doesn't follow the rules at all like I did. And so it's kind of a constant source of conflict between him and my parents. So I think that partly it is performance-based because they certainly give me a lot more leeway than they give him.
My parents sort of have a totally different approach, which I think it's working for me now because I'm younger and my friends don't have licenses yet. And so I don't sort of need that yet. But my parents sort of just started out not really having any specific rules. And then they saw where we needed more guidance. So, for example, I like to stay up really late talking on the phone or on IMing people online and stuff like that. And at first they didn't really have any rules, but then they saw I was sort of, you know, on way too late and stuff. So they made a rule, you know, you can't be on past a certain time. And that's their sort of method. Just as I need a rule, they'll add it. I think that's working out okay, but I can tell that as I get older, I'm going to want to change it a little bit.
Well, you may want that rule readjusted, but there are going to be other ones. Does that rule apply differently to your siblings?
Well, yeah, but they have other rules that I don't have, you know, because they tend to do other things more than I do. So, I mean, I think it's working now because I'm younger and I wouldn't be out that late because I need my parents to drive me home. Because
important detail.
So for now it's working, but I can tell when I get older I'm going to want it to be, like, you know, less rules. So,
do you think it's good for kids to have rules? Is that helpful?
Yeah, some. But I do think that some of my friends' parents, for example, they have too much rules. Like, some of my friends, they used to not be able to see R-rated movies and stuff. And, I mean, I can see where the parents are coming from, but, I mean, they know the curse words, they know whatever, and I don't think it's really necessary to have all those rules.
A little earlier, Paula was talking about the balancing act between schoolwork, activities, social life, and I thought maybe we could revisit that for a minute and ask if anybody else would like to comment about how you handle balancing all your activities.
As for balancing social life and academic life, I think it's probably the most interfered with decision that teens have to face with. You have teachers, you have parents, you have friends. And I think more respect needs to be given to the student as he or she probably can determine his or her capability of workload much, much more effectively than anybody else, much more effectively than the teacher or the parent. And it seems as if you have these two extreme values of the parents and the teachers pushing for one. Obviously, you're going to have a backlash and an opposite force pushing back on the other. And if you just let the child determine his workload, that's probably going to end up with a more effective one. And you're going to have a lot lower case of, you know, extremely high stress levels, breakdowns, or just not being able to do work. Or, in addition, kids who just say, you know what, fine, if you're going to push me this hard, then I'm just going to do the exact opposite, because you'll definitely run into that with teenagers.
Contrary to popular belief, we actually do spend, well, at least me personally, we work a lot. Like, we're up at 6, and then at least I don't get home till 7:30, because we're at school from, like, 7 until, like, about 2, and then a lot of people have sports and a lot of people have other stuff to do. I personally, I am on crew, so I go down to the boathouse pretty early, and then I wait around there, do my homework, and then I have crew practice, and that doesn't end until 7:30. And then I go home, and I get home around 8. So, I mean, we're having, like, 14-hour work days, and I mean that's something to be said for as much work as we do have to do.
Do you manage to fit your homework in, or is that
oh, that's
are we
optional.
Skipping that part?
No, I fit my homework in, like, because when I go down to the boathouse, there's like this sort of like 2-hour period of time which I can do my homework in, and that's when I usually wind up doing it. Or if I don't get it all done, or if I need a computer, I like wind up having to spend like another 2 hours, and then I don't get to, like, rest until, like, 9:30 or something like that. So it's sort of, like, a lot of work.
It's a very long day.
Yeah. I tend to try to get my homework done before I go out with friends, but it's really hard to keep that system because I have so many after-school activities to do, like soccer, dance in my case. And so I get home from school, I have to get suited up for whatever I'm doing and leave. And so I'm normally out till 6:30 or 7 or 8 or however late whatever my activity is ends. And then I start my homework. And so I end up being up very late, plus I need to eat something. And it's definitely really time-consuming. And that's one of the reasons why I'd really like to change what time school starts, because I don't get to sleep till a lot later, and then I have to wake up early in the morning, and I'm just a wreck in the morning. And then I can't listen first period because I'm so tired. And so I think that it's definitely hard, but we got to do it somehow.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion of what teens want their parents to know.
For an audio cassette copy of Any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective and our special group of teenage guests. Today we're talking with them about what teens want their parents to know.
We talked a little bit about parents meeting friends. Is there any more that you'd like parents to know about that? What do you think a parent's role should be in connection with a teenager's friends?
Well, I have to say that personally, my mom has an amazing relationship with all my friends that sometimes they make jokes that my friends are only friends with me because of my mom. But, I mean, she's always been really great about developing a relationship with them, and I've really always loved that. I think one of the really great things is the way my mom has established the idea of our house, which I think a lot of people overlook, but my house has always been completely open to everybody. That at any time of night, if one of my friends calls, if they need a place to stay, that my house has always been kind of the place for people to come. And my mom is always really understanding and takes care of everybody and cooks some food and gets some blankets. And she's always really been there to support them when their parents don't. And I think that's always made me feel really good that when my friends can't go home or when they don't want to go home, they come to my house. And I've always just really liked that. And I think that part of that comes from how supportive my mom is of them and how she never judges them. And she is really accepting of who they are. And I think she really likes them. And I think that that has also made it easier for her to trust me because she knows who my friends are and she trusts me being with them.
That's pretty empowering.
I don't know. It's really nice. Like, my mom buys my friends Christmas presents every year, and she takes us all out to dinner sometimes, or we'll go to a play, and she always kind of makes a point to let them know that our house is open for them and kind of takes them in as part of our family. And I think it's really nice.
My father, that's something that I think I wish he would approach a little bit differently. Because he tends to, this is his argument for, despite a stellar performance in terms of obeying the rules, I don't obtain any more freedom. He makes the argument, I trust you, it's your friends that I don't trust sometimes. And it's a little frustrating because he has made an effort, a little bit of one. I mean, he says hi and he knows a select two or three of them, and he knows most of their names. But other than that, he hasn't really made that much of an effort to say, oh, okay, these are the people that I'm going to limit your freedom around, as opposed to these who I trust as much as I trust you, and I'm going to increase your freedom there. And I don't know if this is an argument he uses and doesn't really want to, you know, he uses it just as a cover for not wanting to change his rules, or he actually, it's true whether or not he actually does not believe in the responsibility of my friends. Either way, I think he could approach it a little bit differently, and I think it's important that parents just have a general knowledge of each one of their friends.
Does that mean that it's okay, in your eyes, for parents to spend more time with their kids' friends? Or would that be very embarrassing?
It all depends. If you whip up the orange juice and marshmallow squares and come down and, you know, I mean, it really all depends on how you approach it. I know that Sonia's mom approaches it, you know, she comes with a very young attitude and, you know, hey, what's up, how's it going, gives the high fives and the secret handshakes and so on. As long as you don't approach it in an irrational way, kids aren't going to treat you in an irrational way. I mean, we are, despite popular belief, still human. We are, you know, teenagers aren't another race of being. We are going to respond in response to a good behavior among parents, we're not gonna, you know, raise all hell or, you know.
So. Something else just to add on to that is I think that there's a time and place for everything. That when I have friends over on a Friday night or a Saturday night, my mom doesn't come down and, like, intrude on our privacy and kind of try to impose herself into that situation. But that she does create opportunities to get a chance to meet my friends. So she'll have dinner parties and she'll ask me if I want to invite a friend, or if she gets tickets to a play, she will always ask me if I want to take a friend. So I think that she creates opportunities where she can get to know my friends without necessarily forcing herself upon my time with my friends.
I agree with that. My mom and my dad, they know all my friends, essentially. Like, a lot of my friends, it's like, hey, let's go over to Tim's house, because that's, like, a cool place to be, because usually there's food. So
that's an important secret here.
That's the main point. But, like, when they come in, even if my parents don't know them, they're like, hi, who are you? And then they meet him, and usually they get along with him pretty well. And they don't impose themselves, and they don't say, who are you? Where are your parents right now? What's your phone number? And it's really something to be said when they don't barge in, but they still get to know all my friends. And like, my parents know a bunch of my friends' girlfriends and, like, where they went over the summer and stuff like that. They know stuff like that. It's like my parents are almost friends with my friends as well, and that's a good thing.
I think that my parents are really good because they volunteer to drive us places, and they're the parents that are always, you know, willing to do stuff for us. But on the other hand, I think that sometimes they impose themselves too much. Not so much my dad, my mom a little bit, but we have fun around her. But sometimes I like to have friends over, and her attitude is, what should I cook you guys? What do you want me to do for you? And I mean, as thankful as I am for that, because that's so nice of her, but sometimes I rather just, like, we'll get our own food. We'll order pizza. We're just going to be in my room. Leave us alone, you know? But, I mean, it's really nice what she does for us anyway, but I sort of wish she'd leave us alone a little bit more.
Or maybe ask you.
Yeah.
That's hard. Well, we have asked you guys an awful lot of stuff, and you've been wonderful, and all the parents out there listening have learned an awful lot. And we want to thank Sonia, Tim, Hugh, and Paula for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and mention show number 144. Tell us also, if you can, what station you're listening to, since we're airing all over the world. It's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Parents as Mentors in Washington, D.C. with Kids are both available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents Perspective and our books, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, you can visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.